listening to sermon audio from Valley Life Church in Lebanon, Oregon. For more audio content, visit valleylifechurch.net.
Father, we are grateful for the work that you seem to always be doing. That you work tirelessly, and you do not sleep, and you're ever attentive of where we're at and what's going on and what's going on with your church and mission, and you're always moving, always working, and I am just grateful for that. I'm thankful that you don't tire. I'm thankful that you are tenacious. I'm thankful that you are all wise and all powerful, that you know all things. There is nothing new that comes to your attention. And you are sovereign over all things, and I'm thankful. Would you be glorified today? Would we get a peek at what you're doing in the lives of many in the church? And I pray that you would be glorified in that process, that we would be encouraged. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I tell you that we had gorgeous weather, but it was overnight, it was freezing. Watching those guys come down that zip line to the water, it was like, they hit that water. It was freezing overnight. And so the weather, though, was beautiful. We had a great time over there. Last year, well, it was actually 15 months ago, so it was back in 2013, we had five churches from around the state of Oregon get together on this event and had 140 guys the weekend. And this year we had over 13 churches from around the Northwest, Washington and Oregon, and had over 350 men at this event. And so it was exciting what God has done in really just a short amount of time. And I know there's already been people asking about the content. That's going to take some time to edit, but that will be available. We do have, where is it? I had it. Oh, it's right here, right in front of me. We have the content from 2013. If you're interested, that's at the Life Center. For those of you who would like to go back and either revisit that or you weren't there, and then we will have the content available from this year as well as soon as we have it edited, and that will take some time. But what a fantastic time. The vision behind Man Camp is multifaceted, and so one of the visions was just to see our churches within our network, Acts 29, which is a church planting network that we're a part of and have been for years. We wanted to see increased partnership among the churches in our network, particularly in our region. And so that was one of the things. This is, let's step out, let's do a collaborative event and partner together and do an event. And so that's one of the pieces to the vision. The other is to develop men. Acts 29 is very clear about what it exists for as a network. It is a single issue network. It's been saying that over and over and over again. As a network, there's this one issue, and that issue is to plant church planting churches. As a network, that's what we're about. And so it seemed fitting for us in line with planting churches and desiring to partner in the endeavor to plant churches, to focus our attention and develop men and to see men called to planting in some form or another. And so that was a piece of the visions. And third, we wanted our men in our churches to be able to get in an environment where they're meeting men from other churches. And the benefit here is so often we think from within our own church. And it's sometimes difficult and challenging to think about the things that God is doing beyond the doors of our particular gathering and in other churches. What is God doing in Salem, in Bend, in Portland, in Washington State? What is he doing? And to meet other men as we're sitting around at tables or we're waiting in line at the zip line or that swing or whatever it is and just chatting with other men. Because we expect that as we plant churches and partner together increasingly to plant more churches, that some of the men, and I would say women, but particularly for us this morning, the men, some of the men that will be a part of these plant teams probably won't be in our church. We saw some connections happen this weekend with other men in other areas. We would expect that as we plant churches, that men from other churches would be a part of those teams. And we would see that collaboration and see churches planted, not just from one expression of God's church, but from many. And so to get them in this kind of an environment. And so clearly it's striking a chord. And it has been encouraging for our guys, I know, but really for men around the Northwest. We saw a lot of tears this last weekend. And God is moving and challenging our men, and it was exciting. We took a lot of hits going into camp. And I'll have to be honest with you, whenever you're planning a big event, it's very easy to slip into just the pragmatics. Like, you have so many men converging on one place. There's a lot of details. It's very easy to switch and go, okay, what are we doing for registration? How have we diced up the rooms? Where are guys staying? How have we mapped out the meals? How about the schedule? Is it finalized? And you just slip into those details. And it dawned on me the week coming up to it, and I sent an email out to the other leaders. I said, guys, I just get a sense that maybe we've slipped into pragmatics and forgot about, or maybe it's lost on us a little bit, the magnitude of what it is we're about to do, because we're taking hits. And you're gathering with 350 men from around the Northwest to talk about Jesus and what it means to be a man according to Scripture, and to talk about church planting. We're going to gather with 350, and I think that we sort of missed the magnitude of this and what the enemy would likely desire to do. Because we started taking hit after hit. The health was dropping amongst the leaders. There was some internal conflict that we had to work out. And there was the day before we lost our primary speaker. John Bryson was going to come out and take most of the sessions. And he got iced in Memphis and could not get out. And so we finally were stuck, and it just thing after thing after thing after thing just seemed to be crumbling at the finish line. And we're like, what is going on? I called Greg McPherson, who was a great guy that we had come down. He was going to close out just Sunday morning. He was the last session. And I called him at 10 o'clock the night before and said, our keynote is not going to make it. So I was sort of leaning in on him a little bit, maybe expand his session to two sessions maybe, and maybe even move him to Friday night to buy Bryson a little more time to fly in. Maybe he could fly in overnight on Friday. Anyway, Greg said he'd pray about it, and the next morning I got a text from him, I think it was 7 in the morning, the day of, with an outline for four sessions. And a man and his God, a man and his bride, a man and his children, a man and his leadership. And I'm like, okay, you're on. Like, and I emailed the other guys, and it was unanimous. And Greg just stepped up with 24 hours notice and delivered for us. And it's just watching the surveys come back from the men at camp. Just really, Greg's at the top of the list. I just really ministered to the guys. And so this was an opportunity for us to walk out what we believe, that God is sovereign, right? That he is in control, and that our plans at the end of the day are just our plans. And God has control, and we were going to walk this out, that God intended for Greg to have more time than Sunday morning. And he spent time with our men, and I know that many of them were greatly impacted. And so that was just fantastic for us. Greg has been serving his story. Is you'll have to watch it when we're done editing. His story is just hard to imagine, some of the things he had to go through as a young man when God rattled him and got his attention and called him into ministry. And then here he is speaking to a bunch of our men, 49 years of loving Jesus, serving Jesus in ministry. I was talking to Dan, I said, you know what, when a guy has been serving faithfully for 49 years, you have to sit down and shut up and just listen. And that's what we did. And we're greatly impacted and glad that he was there to share with us. And so we're hoping this morning to hear from some of our dudes. I've tried to mix it up a little bit and get a cross section of our guys. And so you guys can go ahead and make your way up and find a spot. But as we do that, those of you who are at Man Camp, stand real quick. I want to see everybody. Obviously, I can't have everybody on the stage, but all of our guys that were at Man Camp, stand up real quick. We had 60 guys from Valley Life at Man Camp. And so my hope is, guys, as we share with some of these men, that if we have time, I'm going to come out. So be thinking, and we may have opportunity to get some comments from you as well. But if you need more room, we can slide these forward. It'll be a little easier for you. Find a spot. We'll play musical chairs. Here's what we'll do first. What I've done is I've sort of mixed it up. I've got an old guy. Sorry, Dave. But we're going with it. Got some middle-aged guys. Sorry, James. Sorry, Dan. And we got some young fathers, husbands. We got a single guy, Curtis. You're down there. There's a single guy. So trying to cover the gamut. Hey, I didn't mean that to be funny. But really tried to spread it out, because here is a reality, is that when we're dealing with issues of manhood and biblical manhood, there are different seasons of a man's life that we have talked about in 33, right? And so we're trying to cover some of those seasons that were present at Man Camp, some of the various seasons of manhood. And so really, real quick, I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself, and then what I said, just give your name, and then... Now let's just do that first. I'm gonna hold off on the other thing. Yeah, you're ready to go. So,
my name is James Halsey.
My name is Eric Williamson.
Rudy Pickens.
Dave Van Essen. And I'm the only one with notes.
I got notes over here.
Curtis Clark.
B.J. King.
Lyndon Clugston.
Dan Jones.
Tanner Sheehan.
Ryan Martin.
I saw him beforehand. Sorry, I'm just going to rat you out. One of the definitions of biblical manhood in our church is reject passivity. And I said, are you ready for this? This morning goes, reject passivity, right? So here he is. He couldn't say no, otherwise he's not living up to the definition of biblical manhood. Here's where I want to start, guys. I want to start with where you were at prior to going into camp. Where were you at in your role as a husband, as a father, as a man, as an employee? Where were you at spiritually, emotionally heading into camp? It's a little broad, but who wants to go first? Come on.
Well, basically, right before camp, I was kind of coming up with every reason not to go. Even though, not like consciously, like, I don't want to go, but like everything kept kind of coming up and pushing me not to go until I realized that, you know, maybe it wasn't me so much I was not wanting to go, but other forces trying to keep me from going. And I was just kind of in a comfortable spot as far as leading my family and everything. Just kind of got into a groove and set to it, and every day just paced out the same as before. And I wasn't really leading quite as I should, didn't initiate a lot of things like I should, like prayer or maybe even doing my devotions in front of my kids. So there was just a couple of days right before camp when I realized there are all these things trying to mount against me to keep me from going. And usually when stuff like that happens to me, it just makes me angry, and then I do it. So
hey, whatever works.
That's what happened. So good. I just buckled down and decided I'm going no matter what.
Good. Anybody else? Come on, Rudy.
I actually, this answered a lot of questions for me, because, I don't know, it's been like almost 2 years ago, I had actually asked God, you know, what does it look like to be a godly man, a godly father, a godly husband? I didn't really have, you know, like the best example of that in my life, and so I was searching, and, you know, I've been led here, and then Man Camp, and Greg McPherson, wow, that's all I got.
Let me add to with BJ and Rudy wanted to get a couple of guys. These are new members at Valley Life within this last few months.
9 months.
So wanted to get these guys on the platform too. Some new guys, some new brothers here at the church. Anybody else?
I think culture would tell us as men that to work hard at your job, put a roof over your family, you know, live strong, do the few of the things that men are supposed to do, right? You know, don't beat your wife, you know, take your kids to their ball games, things like that. And it's sad that it's been reduced to that level. And I think as men, we oftentimes are influenced very heavily by culture. Even those of us that are Christian men that know that there's a godly example of what fatherhood should look like. And we oftentimes miss that. It's easy to settle. It's easy, as Eric said, to just kind of get into a routine of just doing life every day and forgetting that God has set an example for us to follow. And it is not one that is to take the back seat. It's one to be leading, taking the initiative, working hard to connect with your wife, with your kids, being a servant, some of these things. And so for me, that's going into this just as a struggle to know what that looks like. It's easy to be reminded of it on a Sunday or in some of your reading of Scripture, but then to play it out is just tough. And I think that's where this this camp was very helpful in that it gave us some practical things, and just it also gives you a brotherhood of guys who are all in the same place, so it doesn't feel like you're doing it so alone.
Yeah, good.
Where I was going in to Man Camp, if I am to be brutally honest with myself, is I was failing as a leader in my home. I tend to be naturally passive, and naturally passive means that if it's hard, I try to usually find a way around it. And being a leader, for me especially, is hard. And it was, the whole weekend was a good stomp on the toes, I guess, to everything that I had been doing or not doing in the last several months, especially.
That's good. Curtis?
Kind of in the same line of thought. It was just going in spiritually and emotionally dull is probably the best term I can come up with. It's easy to just to be passive, like he was saying. It's it just makes things easier when you don't have to take responsibility or anything like that. So that's probably where I was at going in, is just kind of being passive, but spiritually and emotionally dull.
That's good.
Well, like Patrick said, I'm one of the newer guys that. We've been here for 9 months, I think, and kind of like Eric was saying, I was trying to come up with excuses not to go. My wife very lovingly nudged me on multiple occasions to sign up for it, and I had a couple of other friends that were going, so just getting me there was kind of the hard part, and like we've been talking about with 1 Timothy, I think it's easy to experience drift. And I was kind of in that pattern of drift. And I really needed something like we had last weekend to open my eyes and really motivate me to be the spiritual leader in my family.
Well, that's good. Thanks, BJ. Good.
Well, I guess I can mirror everything that's been said so far. For me, what I've been struggling with, even though I've been a Christian pretty much all of my life, is having meaningful devotions and really going deeper in the Word. And what I struggle with is, even though I may have some devotions in the morning, once I walk out of the door and go to work, it seems like the Lord never crosses my mind again until I get back home. Instead of, what I really want and really struggle with is that when things come up at work, that I turn to the Lord first instead of my own strength, my own understanding. And that's really been a struggle for me. And fortunately, the Lord has given me an outstanding wife. And one of the blessings that I can truly say with Leanne and I in our marriage is the the Lord is always seems to kind of draw us to the same point at the same time. And this happened very early in our marriage when we really realized that we needed to walk with the Lord, and throughout nearly 40 years of marriage. And we've kind of come to that point where our kids have left home. So all the devotions and things that we did with our kids when they were growing up sort of went by the wayside. And even though we do pray together, we really don't spend a lot of time together in the Word. And it's just interesting how the Lord kind of brought us both to that point over the last couple weeks, and especially this week when we spent some time just sharing about some things, and that's what the Lord really brought to our attention, is that we need to be in the Word together like we were when our kids were growing up. So, that's really where the Lord brought me to when I was going to that I need to do my work. The Lord has done the work for me. He's done the work in me, and He's saved me and redeemed me, but now I need to do my work. And that's what He really challenged me with going into this men's camp.
That's good. That's good. Thanks, Dave. Go ahead, Sharon. Tanner?
For me, I think going in, I was pretty excited, and in the same way that's been mentioned already, the excitement was a lot of things going on in my life and that kind of thing, but at the same time still sort of walk just sort of day to day, and having gone to Man Camp last time a couple years ago, I knew a little bit what to expect as far as the impact, and was really excited for that. Going in feeling pretty good, and still really kind of got punched in the face on a few of those points that Greg made with taking initiative and that kind of stuff. It was great. Very, very much worth the time and experiencing that kind of really vulnerability with the guys. I loved the time. There was two times when just the guys from Valley Life got together, kind of a strategic time to talk and pray and reflect, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. Ryan, James?
So where I was at before Man Camp, I was actually excited to go too, but I kept putting off signing up, so my wife signed me up for me. But I did want to go. I just, it's one of those things, yeah, I've got so much stuff to do, which has kind of been the story of our last year is pretty distracting. So we were trying to right our ship, before Man Camp, I was, and this just reaffirmed a lot of the things that I kind of already knew, just didn't take action on. So it was awesome. It was really good.
It's good. Ryan?
I think before coming to camp, I can drift as far as being kind of a spiritual wimp, not being in the Word daily, not leading my children and wife to the cross, like Greg had mentioned. If I'm not pointed to the cross, how am I leading my wife and kids there? So, and then just pursuing my wife, being a stay-at-home mom, I know she needs adult conversation with kids all day long, and I tend to neglect that, and I just really needed to hear Greg's words to steer me in the direction to get back on that path.
That's good.
Pursuing my wife.
That's good. We're hearing a theme here. Ladies, your role, seriously, are you hearing that? Picking that up? That we talk about the Genesis 2 helper that God created for men. That it's phenomenal to hear these men talk about being in this place, and then hearing again and again from several of them, my wife really encouraged me. My wife really pushed me. My wife signed me up. Like, good job. You're doing your job. So well done. I love that. One of the things that came up, and you're hearing little snippets, and I'll tell you this. it was kind of a weird thing because we had the Gold Rush guys there, and that was kind of entertaining and fun to meet them. And but then the best words we could use to describe Greg's sessions were like mining, which was kind of a weird imagery for me. Like, you're swirling, you're washing rocks. He's saying a lot of things, and every once in a while, there's a nugget you pull out that like slams you in the face. And there were several of these little moments, just brief moments, where he's talking about things maybe we've heard before, and we're like, yeah, that's good, that's good. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh wow. And so there were a lot of these sort of mind nuggets. And so what I would say, guys coming, going next, is what rattled you? Some of you were a little rattled going into it, but what rattled you when you were there, spiritually rattled you? One of those mind moments, the punch in the face moments, where you're going to walk out of that session and that's going to weigh heavy on you. You're going to think about it for the next couple of hours, if not have been thinking about it since you got back. So what are some of those highlight, heavy, rattling moments that you experienced at camp this last weekend?
I'll start. I got the mic. At one point, when he was talking about a man and his children, he said to remember the moments, if you had them, of when your father looked you in the eye and said he loves you or he's proud of you. Some of us had it, some of us didn't. And not to say I had a terrible relationship with my dad, but I didn't hear that a lot, if ever. And I know how that makes me feel when stuff like this comes up, and I, you know, I'm like, oh man, that needs to be the driving force of how I love my children. Mm. I think he said, love and serve your children in the context of who you are in Christ. Yes. And to know what it feels like to not really hear that, I need to show that to my kids. So that was my slap in the face moment.
That's good.
In Greg's first opening session Friday night, he opened up with his story, his testimony, which, like Pat said at the beginning, is pretty horrific in spots. The thing that stuck out to me in that was when he was in the worst moment, on a hospital bed with like his flesh rotting off his leg as they're trying to heal. I mean, it's bad. Watch it. But his sense of call, God calling him into ministry away from the family business that he loved. He loved the family business and working with his dad. And God called him away to that into ministry. And his response was not what you typically hear. Well, God, if you get me through this broken leg and rotting flesh, then I'll serve you. His response was, God, get me through this. If you get me through this, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to make me what you want of me. And it was just that, it was a little bit of a twist in that last half of that sentence that was, it was very impactful.
I think as men, oftentimes we get bogged down with the details of life. And one of the things that really hit me was looking big picture. And he made a quote that said, every man will leave a legacy, and it will be about the God, big G, or God you serve, the little g. And I think that's really important to remember. Because there's a lot of things that will take our attention, our time, and our efforts. And they're little G's most often. And those little G's will steal from you. And you won't be able to serve the big G.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think it was the second session, I think the one about leading your wives. And I don't have any kids, so... This one, at one point in this session, he said, and I can't remember verbatim how he said it, but essentially a lot of the couples that he and his wife counsel, if when they come in, he can basically there's a direct connection between how a man is loving God and how he is loving his wife.
Mm, yeah.
And that one hit me pretty hard. Because I can see the effects of my love for my wife, how it affects her directly. I can see that right in front of me in my daily life. And oftentimes it's easy for me to put love for God on the, I don't know, the back burner. Well, it's probably a pretty good way to describe it. Because I can't visualize it right in front of me. And that, not that that's any excuse, but it really hit me that my relationship with my wife should be mirroring my relationship with God. And oftentimes I feel like I'm putting the work in with my wife while neglecting putting the work in my relationship with God. And I don't know if backwards. Yeah, it's backwards. It is backwards. Because I feel like if coming out of it now, my relationship with God should be first, and my relationship with my wife will feed off of that to the positive.
Yeah. That's good.
I think I had kind of the same moment that Dan had with the when Greg said, every man will leave a legacy. And he said it several times. The one that really stuck out with me was when he said, every man will leave a legacy. You have no choice. And where he said that we should be thinking about at least three generations, if not four or five, and to just realize that what we do now has such an impact on our future generations, that just what a heavy burden it is for us to have to step up and be the leader in our family that we need to be, because it's going to impact so many people down the line, not just our children, but our children and their wives or husbands and their kids. And I'm thankful I have good examples behind me that made a good impact on my life, and I hope to do the same for my family.
That's good.
There were two things that kind of struck me pretty hard. The first one, so you brought up Matthew 22, where it says that God wants all of your heart, soul, and mind, all of it. He doesn't want, like 10%. He doesn't want half of it. He doesn't even want most of it. It's 100%, which is, it's easy to give most of it. And that's generally the line that I think of. It's like, well, as long as it's first, and everything else kind of comes by the wayside, it should be fine, right? But he wants all of it. And he had better be in everything else. The second thing was, he's asking, guys, how's your prayer life? Are you praying? Have you even asked the Holy Spirit to help you pray? Hmm. And that kind of stunned me for a minute. It's like, no, I haven't.
That's good.
Well, I had a couple things, too. One of the things that really hit me was not necessarily in the session, but afterwards, or between one of them. I had the privilege of having my oldest son, Cole, come up with me, and he's married and lives in Klamath Falls as a fire captain, so he's got a lot of responsibility. He's, like the ideal kid. He's just been never any problems with him in all the years that he was with us. But he really feels called, and he knows that God has called him to be a leader. And he's struggling in his work in leading his men in kind of a pagan setting and encouraging them to live in a godly manner. So I had really had a good opportunity, and he shared a lot of things with me, talked to me about a lot of things, and I just listened. I didn't give him the fatherly advice. I just listened to him. And finally, I was able to share with him what the Lord has done in my life. And I've been very blessed. As far back in my heritage that I know of, my family were Christians and strong Christians. I got several pastors and missionaries in my family, and God has just really blessed me to have been born into that family. And my grandmother prayed for her 40-plus grandchildren every day of her life, and she made that very well known to us, that she was praying for us, even when I got to be an adult. So anyway, I followed the Lord most of my life until I became a teenager and then strayed for several years. And I was able to share that with him. I never have really shared that portion of my life with my kids because it's embarrassing. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I just kind of pushed to the side and tried to go around it. But I've finally come to the point where I realize that's a portion of my life I need to share with my children. So I was able to share that with Cole and share with him the blessings that he has in a Christian heritage. And I believe that's a biblical concept that God will pass on that godly heritage from generation to generation. And we have to be able to stand on that we do not have to come from, be redeemed from the crud of this earth, but we can be redeemed with a godly heritage and the importance that we can pass that on to our children. And I was able to just share that with him. So that was really important for him and important for me because I realize that that's something I have to do is to share that with my kids, what I went through and the way I strayed and how the Lord called me back. And the other thing that really hit me from Greg McPherson's speech when he was talking about a godly heritage was that when he was able to get something from his father that passed away, he took his work boots and he had laid them on the stage. He had a cross, and he had laid them in front of the cross with the shoes pointing to the cross, and talked about that was the heritage that he received from his father, pointing to the cross. And it just hit me, am I that man? Will my kids see my feet pointing to the cross? So that was really a challenge for me.
I would say for me, the opening night session was probably the one that started the ball rolling, and it would really be kind of hard to, not say that the whole weekend itself wasn't impactful, but the thing that really, and I believe I used this when Pat asked me, it wrecked me. It really did. He opened with, in Deuteronomy, where God is laying out the Ten Commandments, and the first one is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And I can picture Greg saying it very slowly, "You shall have no other gods before me." And then he went on to explain how God did not suggest that we have a relationship with him or that it would be okay to have, a little bit. It's an exclusive relationship that he's calling us to, and it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an advisement. It's a command. And that really, for me, kind of wrecked me for the whole rest of the weekend because I've heard most of that most of my life, and I would have given you the correct answer. But to sit there in that moment and realize that, I really wasn't giving my all to my God, but I was separating part of my life between the God and other gods in my life, and it really shook me, and it really set the tone for the whole rest of the weekend. And there's so many other things that I took away beyond that, but that was really kind of like the pivotal moment for me, the thing that really started it.
I guess what really stuck out to me was all these things together and how they can all be used as one to help, lead your family. My relationship with God, for the last 5 years since my first son was born, I've been trying to figure out how in the world am I going to improve on what my mom and dad did. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful relationship with my father and with my mother. And when Greg McPherson was talking about, his life and his relationship with his dad, I'm sitting there like, my dad taught me how to work hard and how to be, truthful and independent and all these things. And it wasn't until the end when I realized that everything we'd been learning that week was the answer. It wasn't just one tool or one thing that I can do because they had done such a good job raising me. How could it be just one thing? It's going to have to be a multitude of tasks and skills to implement to help that. And from my relationship with God, that's going to help me, build and strengthen my relationship with my wife. And it's going to teach me how to deal with my children and raise them too. But in them seeing my wife's and I's relationship, they're going to learn what it's like to see a healthy, happy marriage in Christ and how important that is. And, it was hard for me to find something to change about the way I was raised. But the reason I need to change some things is because of the culture and the days that we live in and how much more it's going to change as they get older and how much more they're going to be influenced to do ungodly things and how many, sins are going to be confronted with. And I just have to lay out this foundation and this footwork for them so that way when they start to become young men, then we can start having the conversations about, the sin that I dealt with and that, how I was able to overcome it through Christ.
That's good.
So it took me a while to kind of put that all together, like until like 5 seconds ago when Rudy was finished. So
that's good.
I tend to be a slow learner sometimes, but so yeah.
So he, I don't know if it's the opening night, but he talked about, there's generalist Christians that, you go to church, I believe Christ died for me on the cross, and it doesn't really go any deeper than that. You say hi to a few people, and you go home, and, that really kind of struck me. I there are some areas I definitely need to work on for sure, but, I just need to dig deeper, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in word, do a much better job as a husband and father. And, they talked about the little G's. It's managing those little G's can be very tough. And
it's all right.
Anyway, it's something I struggled with last year. And obviously it hit home there. And there's lots to work on, and came back with a kind of a battle plan and trying to put into action right now.
That's good. I love what it came out a couple of times. You guys talking about when Greg talked about the exclusive relationship, and then Curtis, you talked about it, Rudy, you talked about it, and I love what he said. It stood out. He said, Jesus did not put on flesh and die on the cross for a piece of your heart. He set aside glory, put on flesh, and died on the cross for all of it. And I think it rattled. Just you could feel the shockwave through all of the men. Like, and you talk about James, the generalist, and Greg's challenging us to move from generalists to specialists. And man, it's just encouraging. And I love seeing where you guys are at. And I know this is just a glimpse. It's just a peek. What happened with the 60 guys that we had there. And so that's fantastic. I love it. So you talked, James, about a little bit of a battle plan. That's a great segue. Well done. What came home? What comes home? Because we talk a lot in 33 about the strategic move, right? Like it's not good enough just to talk about it and theorize about it. It's got to get to the ground. So we tried to keep it simple. Like what was one thing? What's one battle plan that you have that you're putting to work now that you're back on the ground?
And we had started this a couple weeks before Man Camp. We set the alarm clocks. We all get up as a family. And somebody from our community group gave us a book. And good grief. Anyway, we've been doing that, 3 to 4 days a week. Spending more time with my wife.
That's good.
So that's what we've been doing.
Cool. Good.
So this week I was pretty good about doing my devotions in front of my kids and kind of making a big deal where I just take over the table and throw a bunch of books on there that are all related, even if I'm not reading them. That way as they run by, they kind of stop and give me that half a look and then keep going with what they're doing. Before you know it, they're crawling all over you, wanting to see what Daddy's doing, and then I've got him. I can get him into it a little bit.
That's great.
But that and doing devotions with my wife, because when we first got married, she would read the Bible to me sometimes, and I would go to sleep. And it's just because her voice is so lovely, and then just put me to sleep. But now instead of having
good one. Nice.
Now instead of having her read to me, I'm reading to her, and that's the way it should be. I'm directing, the study and what we're going over and hitting some keynotes, and I'm kind of cheating because I'm going off of what Greg taught us at Man Camp. So in a week, I'm going to need help.
Fantastic.
I guess for me, one of the things that we had talked about was, I do my devotions in the morning, but it's not in front of any of my family. I'm pretty sure that they all know that I do it, but none of them see me. And so it became very much aware to me that I needed to make sure that all of my family knew that I was in the Word and that I was talking about it and sharing about it with them. And so we had actually kind of started doing this back in December as a family. And so with the help of my lovely wife, we're kind of modifying that to be better so that in the evening before we put the girls to bed, we're talking about the Bible and we're learning and we're sharing together. And I'm able to lead them in that time so that they can see that their dad is being the spiritual leader of their home. And that's something that I never had when I was a kid. And so it's a pretty hard transition. But it's very important to me to make sure that my girls know who their God is.
That's good.
Well, for me, it's a couple things. One is what I mentioned before, is that I need to be doing the work. I need to go deeper, and I need to spend more time in the Word, more time in prayer, and seriously in my walk, and sharing that, obviously, with my wife. And the other thing is, my kids are grown, so my influence on them is a little different than a lot of these young dads as they're talking about spending time in the Word with their kids. But I recognize I need to share with my children what the Lord has done for me and what He is doing for me. We tend to not, in our family with our kids, not to talk about the Lord that much, even though my kids are all following the Lord, and we pray together when we get together, but to really be serious about taking that leadership with my adult children and sharing with them the importance of the Lord in not only my life, but Leanne's life, obviously. So that's That's a couple steps that I'm going to take.
One of my strategic moves, practical application, is first just to stay in the Word, but more than that, to not just read and take what I'm reading and apply that, but beyond that, to be in prayer with that and spend time with God. And that's been impactful this last week.
Well, Greg talked about in the session with our a man and his wife how to how that we're called to be servant leaders, not a domineering leader in the home, but a servant leader, and to serve our wives. And another thing, I don't know exactly where it is. There's a couple places I believe in Scripture that talk about not provoking your children to anger. And if you know me, I can be a tad sarcastic sometimes, or really sarcastic, and I can provoke my kids by just jabbing at them a little bit or whatever. And that's something I'm really trying to work on. To not only just serve my wife, but to serve my children too. And to know that I've got to set the example for them for how they should treat others. I don't want them to be, the bullies in school like I could tend to be when I was younger. So that was a big thing for me, is to lead out in a way that's... where I'm serving them and not just domineering over them and being the authority in the home. I want to serve them in a positive way.
Wow, that's good.
I guess the simplest form of what I came home with is in just breaking down knowing God and developing a deeper, meaningful relationship with Him. In my life, is spending time in the Bible. It's the best way I know how to learn to know Him, to experience Him daily in my life. And it's something that I've struggled with all my life. I do fine for a while, and then life seems to always crop back up, and slowly I slip away until all of a sudden I realize one day that I haven't read my Bible in, other than opening in church, in months. And one thing that Greg said, he said it several times, but you can't do this life on your own. You can't. And the realization of that, I can't do this on my own. I obviously, it hasn't worked for me in my life to this point. I can't just will myself to develop a relationship with God, to read daily. I mean, I guess I could will myself to do that, but in theory I could, but it hasn't worked. And just accepting the fact that I can't do it on my own. There's no way to be a child of God on your own. It doesn't work. And accepting that, accepting that in my head, and then accepting that in my heart, and I'm thinking it's probably going to take a while. Mm-hmm. But that's my desire, that I more and more lean on God to help me, to give me the strength, to give me the will. Because quite frankly, sometimes I don't have the will. Yeah. There's something I'd rather do. Sleep. lay on the couch. Sadly enough, sometimes I want to do that more, and just praying for the desire to spend time with God to be greater than my desire to sleep or to do whatever I want to do at that moment.
That's good. That's good.
There's numerous things that I took away, and as far as a strategic plan, I guess, I tried to think of what is one thing that I would share, since there's a lot that are actually on my heart. But I think the first is, for me as a man, learning to be, and to echo what was said, was to be in a servant leader. It's very difficult at times to actually put that into practice. It's easy to come home from work. You've had a stressful day. You deserve that time, in my mind. I deserve that time to check out. I need my space. I need to depressurize. I need to spend time, my time, to do what I need to do. And in order to do that, there's a cost involved for my family. So I don't meet the needs that my wife has for her day. I don't meet the needs for my kids and what they've experienced during that day. And so for me, just looking in God's strength to look for ways that I can serve as a leader, not just as an authority figure in the house, that's easy to do. And that's my natural bent, but to find ways in which I can serve like Christ served the church, his bride. And there's a lot to that, and I'm still working that out. Luckily, we have a good example.
Yeah.
Amen. I think the thing that impacted me in as far as coming home and what part of a strategic plan to moving forward was that exclusivity piece. The exclusive, God wants an exclusive relationship, and it's easy for me to rest in things that I'm doing. And that are good things, work. I'm on the worship band and community group and these kind of things that are good things, and sort of just rest that. Well, I'm gonna get some stuff done, and allow those things to replace the second part of that, the relationship piece, to pour into. The relationship, and one of the things that where that came out for me was Greg using the example of his dad, how much his dad believed in him and believed in what he could do and what God was going to do in his life, and just his dad as this hopeful and expectant father, and then relating that to how God views us. And so it seems like where I drift away in that is I'm not really making eye contact. I'm doing a lot of stuff maybe, but I may not be making eye contact and hearing God and what his love for me looks like. And I think delving deeper into that and a greater understanding there is going to then impact those other things, how I love my wife, how I lead my children, just that greater understanding of God as a loving father who is expectant and hopeful and joyful. It just was big.
I think a strategic move I'm bringing home would be obviously to get up in the morning and do my devotions. I get up real early, and it's super easy to hit that snooze 3 or 4 more times and stay in bed. But I've been working on trying to stay consistent with that. And also just making weekly time for my wife, even if it's just a couple hours. I tend to tell myself, oh, we don't have the money to do something. Well, I have to get that thought out of my head and say, hey, it doesn't take money. You know, just a couple hours with her. And I think to echo what Lyndon said, many times I've tried to stay in the Word in the mornings or pursue my wife or pray with my children. And as much as I've tried to do it, I continue to fail, and I will continue to fail if I rely on myself alone. Even for this morning, I asked some of the dudes for prayer to come up here and even speak. And Chris said, more than likely you will fail on your own if you try it on your own. Yeah. But because of Christ, you can and you will. So I lean on that to help me with my strategic move.
That's good. Something that came up a few times as I'm listening to you guys' responses is that piece, I can't do it on my own. And that was, I think, what you keyed in on, Tanner, when you were talking about what Greg said. He finished that sentence in a way you didn't expect. When he's saying, laying in a hospital bed and just coming to that place where it's like, God, you're calling me to ministry. I am going to screw this up. Like, I'm going to screw this up. You've got to go with me because it isn't going to happen with just me. Like, this has got to be you, and you got to make up what's lacking. How many of you feel that? Like, it's not just on the platform, men, women alike. How many of you feel that? Like, I'm going to screw it up on my own. It's just so powerful to see that we have this Father, this Heavenly Father who loves us and has great vision for us and great empowerment and belief in us because of what He has done through His Son on the cross, right? And I love that piece of His story. They had a family business. They had, his dad had bought all this property, and over the many years they had built hunting lodges and cabins, and they had this hunting guide business, and men would fly in from all over and go hunting with them, and they had all of this stuff over many years of development, and he loved it and felt God was calling him away, and that moment where he felt like he needed to communicate to his dad he was no longer going to be a part of this. And just to see his dad respond, like, you got to do what the Lord wants you to do, and his dad sold it all. Okay, if we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this. If God has something else, well, and he sold it all. And just that looking back and maybe whatever fear there might be in a son to disappoint a father because he's not going to carry on with this family business and have a dad go, dude, you got to do what God wants. This doesn't have to be the thing. And puts it up for sale. Proving it's not one of his gods. It's what we're doing, but we don't have to have it. We can cast it down. Real quick before we close, I want to give, I know I couldn't have all the guys up here, but some of you guys, maybe there's a couple of you out here that as you're hearing these guys, you would just add something you would have to say. I just want to make sure I'm giving you guys voice and not just picking. Does anybody want to add something before we close?
I'm Andrew Poole. I've been going here since December. One of the huge, huge things I took away was he said that kids have a fuel tank, a father fuel tank that only fathers can fill. And being a parent of two daughters, especially, if the fathers don't fill that fuel tank, then they're going to find a guy who will fill it. And if that is not a godly guy, he's going to say whatever it takes to fill that tank so he can take whatever he wants.
Yeah. It's powerful. The dad fuel tank, I remember that. That was good. Anybody else? Vic.
I'm Vic Fantas. I'm Vic Fantas. We've been coming since about the end of last summer, I guess. Basically, my takeaway is that, you know, he talked about, you know, our legacy and how we get things from our dads, and we pass them on to our children, and they pass on all the way through. And my dad wasn't, you know, particularly a Christian guy. And to me, the thing that he did with the boots and pointed them towards the cross, and it's like, those are his dad's boots. And am I following? Which way is my dad's boots going? And which way are my boots going? And if they're not pointed towards that direction, I mean, that's basically what I picked up from this whole weekend was our compass. You know, you got to make sure that those points, those boots are pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, that's good. That was an emotional closing session. His boots, we didn't even notice. His dad's boots were sitting at the foot of the cross the entire session and nobody noticed. And at the end, he said his dad had passed away just 3 years earlier and his siblings got together to sort of decide, you know, what is it from dads that you want to keep? And all his siblings sat around and all he wanted was his dad's boots. And he just simply said, my dad, he says, was so frugal, he retreaded these boots all the time. You know how long I've been following those boots? Like sometimes it's all I could see as I'm trudging behind him when we're hunting. It's all I could see. My face is down. I'm just watching those boots. You know how long I've been watching those boots? Man, just heavy. So all of a sudden, the importance of where those boots are aimed, right? One more, and then we got to... Anybody else? Trent.
The thing that hit me when we first started, and you told that Greg was just taking on this, the four sessions, and I thought, wow, what a man can take on four sessions. And 49 years, he's been doing this for a long time. This guy's good. And first thing he did was he said, all right, three or four of you guys get together in your own little group. And he says, we're going to pray that we can do this. And he went right to God, you know, 49 years or whatever. You know, I would have thought, well, I can do this. You know, I can do this on my own. I've been walking with the Lord this long. He went right to, hey, we need to pray about this. And only through God's strength can we do this. And that's what kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, very good. All right, thank you guys very much. Give them a hand, everybody, for rejecting passivity. Thank you, guys. I want you to be encouraged. I know as I'm sitting here, I'm super encouraged. Valley Life, you know, we celebrated a couple weeks ago. We celebrated 9 years as a church. And one of the things that we set out to do was to really define what a disciple is and try to make them. And that's what Scripture says, to make disciples. So let's figure out what that is and let's do our best. And by God's great grace, we stumble and fall and trip up and have had to change things and try again and do it. We haven't always done well. And there's much we can still learn today. But I'm so encouraged just sitting back and looking how deep the bench is here at Valley Life. I'm just super encouraged that God is doing some wonderful things and has been doing wonderful things in the lives of our guys particularly, but not just our men, our ladies here as well. Like God is working and moving and there are disciples loving Jesus and committed to Jesus and committed to growing in Christ. And I'm just super encouraged to see that kind of commitment, to see that kind of depth here as a body is fantastic. And as a pastor of a church, just really it's a load off from all the cultural pressure of what it means to be a pastor, right? It allows some of that load to be sort of shed off a little bit, knowing that it doesn't hinge on me really at all. And that God is working and there are leaders and Christ exalting people that are committed by his great grace to follow him all the days of their lives. And man, that just is exciting to me. And so I'm proud of you and guys and thankful for you.